Yeah, there are two general observations I wanted to make. One is about the how I saw my cases breaking in two categories. I think they came out about 50-50, cases of human venality on the one hand and human tragedy on the other hand. And, you know, there were just as many. You hear the recounting of the events, where the husband shot his wife is only one example. There were a lot of things that just... And the difficulty of knowing how to sentence people when it doesn't fit the mold. I had two murder cases unrelated to each other. In the one, the lady was in bed with her boyfriend and she got mad at him. So she called her granddaughter and said, "Go to the kitchen and get me the butcher knife." And so the kid brought her the butcher knife. And so she stabbed him in the leg. Then he started bleeding. And then she urged him to go to the emergency room. You know, she said, "You'll die if you don't go to the emergency room." He said, "No, he wasn't going to go." And so he died. Well, that's a pretty clear-cut case of murder. You know, had no prior record, mature woman, alcoholic, on drugs or something. The trial was delayed interminably, and it was already old when I got it. In the meantime, she'd gotten into the hands of Catholic Charities or Lutheran Charities or somebody and she'd straightened out her life. And so she was a perfectly respectable-looking person on the stand. And obviously, this is not anything that would ever happen again. And you'd like to just say, you know, this has been a terrible experience for everybody, and I know you're terribly sorry. Why don't you just go on your way? But you can't do that. You have to, first place, there's a range of sentencing. You have to sentence them to a minimum. Forget what it is now or was then. And of course, we were getting tough on crime in those days, too. Governor Thompson's Class X felonies and everything. But, I sentenced her to the minimum, but I expressed hope to her that she would continue on her upward path and she'd get adequate support services in prison she was obviously leading it. She was making a contribution to society. I forget what she was doing. She was helping out in some program that they were running. The other was a guy who ran a small store in the ghetto. And this guy came in to hold him up. And... he knew the guys, they were neighborhood kids, and I forget what happened, but he was outraged by it. So he went home and got his shotgun and came back and killed them. Yeah, 50-year-old man, no prior record of any, even a misdemeanor. Yeah. What do you do? What is society trying to tell this guy? What is the purpose of the sentencing? And you can't probation him because it's murder. You know, it's premeditated. If he'd reached for the gun, he'd had it under the counter and shot off. You know, I don't think there'd be any problem of reducing the charge and getting a plea out of it. So those are the hard ones. You know, just the things that people do to each other, it's appalling. Some of them end, people escape for some reason. The things that people survive is amazing. Had one case where, I don't know what it was, I think it was the lady's prior boyfriend, and I don't know whether he came and raped her or just came to kill her. But anyway, he thought he'd killed her and carved his initials on her chest, but hadn't completed the job, so she screamed and the neighbors came. She survived, you know, to tell the tale. So people survive amazing things. It's, I guess, a testimony to the human spirit. But anyway, people asked me if I would regretted leaving the bench, and I said, yeah, I would have liked to have done it all my life if finances had been available. My wife said no. And my next thought was to go to school and learn some Spanish, because that's a real need in the criminal justice system, certainly. And that was my afterthought.
Thank you.